Thanks for listening to the Adam Carolla Show on Podcast One.
Hey, it's Adam Carolla. You may know him from putting his body on the line in Jackass, but now Johnny Knoxville is bringing you the wildest stories from the bravest folks he knows on his newest podcast, Pretty Sure I Can Fly. With his co-host, Elna Baker, they have incredible firsthand accounts from folks who surfed 100-foot waves, ride 600 miles per hour in a rocket sled, and wrestle crocodiles just for fun. They've been talking with brave souls who throw caution to the wind and push the boundaries of what humans are capable of. Or, as Johnny would say, they're talking to people who have more balls than a bowling alley. I'm Pretty Sure I Can Fly. Johnny and Elna bring you personal stories from unsung heroes that are part comedy, part adrenaline, and all heart. These are the inspirational, hold my beer stories that will make you want to grab the bull by the horns, literally and figuratively. Follow Pretty Sure I Can Fly on the Wondery app or wherever you get your podcast. You can listen to Pretty Sure I Can Fly right now, early and free, right now on Wondery Plus. All right, so we've got some good calls coming up. We have a police officer calling in from a veteran from Chicago. Give a lot of insights to what he's going through now. News is coming up as well. First, I'll tell you about Geico these days. We're doing a lot more sharing. Geico just wants to say thanks. Thanks for sharing. Thanks for sharing your dance move. Thanks for sharing your DIY haircut fails and your inner lip sync star. And now Geico is going to share with you. That's right. I got Geico Give Back. 15%. That's right. 15% credit on car and motorcycle policies for current and new customers because Geico's committed for the long haul. That's 15% credit, and it lasts the full policy term. Go to geico.com/giveback.
Podcast One presents. This is a collect call from Sing Sing.
My name is John J. Lennon. I'm locked up for selling drugs and committing murder. I'm also a contributor for Esquire magazine and the Marshall Project. So I'm a writer and I'm a prisoner. Imagine trying to stay focused and talk about issues of substance with geeks slamming, prisoners screaming, and PAs blaring in the background.
Get new episodes every Wednesday on Spotify, Podcast One, and Apple Podcasts.
All right, let's see. We said we talked to Matt, 49, Chicago's police officer. Matt?
Adam.
Yeah, what's going on in Chicago?
Joseph, I cannot believe I'm hearing your voice in person. You are the man. My goodness, I've been listening to you for decades, and I have just the greatest appreciation for you, my man. Oh my goodness.
Thank you, Matt.
Such a pleasure hearing your voice.
I wish cop I spoke to had as much appreciation and reverence as you do.
Oh, wow.
So what's it like in Chicago now?
How was your night?
Oddly enough, they have us just sitting here waiting. I mean, I've just been waiting all day, but it's just crazy because there's something called 10-1s in Chicago. A 10-1 is basically like last, like I'm getting my ass handed to me. Please send help. And I mean, in all my career, I've been in the police for decades now. I've never heard so many officers calling for help minute after minute, and it's just the management is just, oh my goodness, I just can't believe how poorly managed this whole situation is.
Well,
Matt, are you on duty? Are you waiting for something to happen, or are you like waiting for the call to check in? How does it work?
Obviously I'm going by Matt as an alternate because it's a risky thing here in Chicago even. Calling the Dr. Adam Carolla, and I don't want my mayor finding out that I'm cavorting with the reasonable people.
Well, now your mayor can't cut her own hair, so she had to have somebody do it. So that's her explanation for why she broke her own rules. You know, it strikes me. I've been talking a lot about rule of law. The percentage of people when I was a kid that would put their hands on a cop would be out of my entire high school, there'd probably be three dudes who would physically put their hands on a cop.
Just Ray.
It is right. It's become
Ray, two of them.
Yeah, it's become commonplace now. And young women as well. Like this breakdown, and it's something that's scary because it is going to get more people killed in the aggregate that first things, cops need to go into areas where there's a lot of violence. If they don't want to go into those areas for fear that they're going to be filmed doing something, then they're not going to, and there's going to be more killing. There already is more. The Ferguson effect is already more killings going on in these neighborhoods that desperately need help. So that's number one. Number two, then if you have large groups of people and instead of 1% willing to put your hands on police officers, you're now up to 37% that are willing. That's going to be trouble for the cops and then eventually trouble for them as well.
It's bad math.
Matt, you're 49. What was it like 20 years ago when you were a cop?
20 years ago? We did get more respect. Some of this was brewing, you know, the disrespect in, as you say, you know, fatherless environments. To put it in a euphemistic manner, it was definitely there, but the boldness wasn't there. And now it's just gotten to the point where, I mean, you have suburban kids coming into the city and behaving just with unbelievable lawlessness. And like you said, it's just amazing to me how hordes of people are just completely willing to face off directly with the police over nothing. Literally over nothing. I mean, like, there's not even something going on. They just want to yell at you. They want to malign you. And check this out. There's so many white people, as you can tell by my voice, perhaps I'm white. There's so many white people out here with the whole Black Lives Matter. And they're protesting over one black man who died and, you know, this tragic event, sure. But do you know that there were like 10 people killed in the riots in Chicago alone last night?
Right.
Two people. My friend took a report for two black males shot. Nobody protested them. If this is about Black Lives Matter, how come you're not worried about all these black people who are dying in the very protest? It's just completely upside down. I don't know what to do.
There was also like 10 black men shot, maybe even killed over Memorial Day weekend. In Chicago area.
Did you see the protest? Yeah, exactly.
No, yeah, I didn't. You don't see the protests. It's not on the news. No one gives a shit. I mean, that's my whole thing.
Exactly.
If you're really talking about helping young black men, then at least have this be part of the conversation. If that's your goal, I don't in fact think that's their goal. Because their goal, you'd know about it. That's not their goal. That's not CNN's goal either. Their goal is to agitate. That's my belief. Because if it's something you really care
about,
then you do it. If you really care about that, then you go statistically where it's much more meaningful. And
I'd love to ask you as a police officer, you know, right or wrong, obviously, the way history is going to look back at it, like with the Ahmaud Arbery case, you know, the
39 shot, 10 killed in Chicago over Memorial Day was over Memorial Day weekend. 39 shot, 10 killed. That's a lot of young black folk, I'm guessing.
And how many of their names do you know?
None of them.
I'm a police officer. I don't know a single name.
Right.
The only way somebody would know their name is if they were family or if they were writing the report. But everybody knows George Floyd's name. Everybody knows Laquan McDonald's name.
But that was
crazy.
On tape.
It's complete. It's not about black lives. It's like you said. It's agitation. There's definitely a bigger picture going on here.
Officer, let me ask you this, though. Like, the reason why Ahmaud Arbery's murderers are now being arrested was because that tape went viral. Everybody saw it. It wasn't because the police department saw it. It was because the masses saw it. And now, is this an extreme, possibly overcompensation, you know, chaotic mess because of this latest one, George Floyd, that was just, you know, kind of cut and dry with the video that we've all seen? Don't you think police officers would look back and go, look, good, bad, right or wrong, we don't want to go through this again. So everybody don't fuck around. So it is affecting some sort of change. Yes.
You know, my partner was just asking me that, like, where do I, he's new on the force and he's saying, what do you think is going to happen with policing in America in the future? And I don't know. I mean, on the one hand, you're still going to have the agitators, the irresponsible.
Always.
And then you're still going to have the business owners, the responsible, and the people who want the police and people who want law and order and want businesses to thrive. I mean, America is doing great. I mean, all, except for all the agitation that the Democrats are doing. I mean, our economy is amazing. It's just
global
things
pandemic.
Are great. Everybody's got food. Everybody's fine. I don't know
well,
what to say.
Everybody's so well, we're talking about the pandemic, Matt. I mean, Officer Matt. Look.
40,000 employed.
150,000 dead.
Yeah.
105.
Yeah, but we're overdoing the fucking thing. I mean, I don't what is LA? What are we locked down for? I've been back from Texas for fucking well, now we're locked down.
I should have left 20 minutes ago.
I've been fucking back from now we've brought it on ourselves, but it's like I was in Texas a week ago. I'm fucking fine. There's nothing. I don't know. The pandemic may be over now because of racism, I guess.
Yeah.
We beat it out.
We willed it away.
We willed it away. It turns out it was safe to go out all the time. And look, I am telling you, whether it's a school teacher, a principal, or a police officer, we need to have respect for the will of law. We need that. Yeah, a coach, a father, a cop, we have to. Now, are there going to be bad cops? Yes, there are going to be bad cops. Are there going to be bad school teachers? Yes, I had 226 of them. In my academic career, and that by the ninth grade. Are there going to be bad counselors and bad? Yes. And there's bad citizens as well. There's criminals as well. There's going to be some bad. Be prepared. But what I'm saying is if you have a respect for authority, you are going to have a much better life and a chance, a much greater chance of seeing your 80th birthday.
Sure.
Sadly, that's the way, that's what we are. As long as we're going to give cops guns, as long as they're going to carry guns, then we're going to have to listen to them in the interim. In that short period, that short exchange, they're the one with the guns. I always say, don't look at them as cops. Look at them as guys with guns and you don't have a gun.
Right.
And sadly, that's where we're at. Should they be better? Of course they should be better. Are all of them bad? No. And in terms of the death toll, if we're really looking out for Americans and the death toll, then we should be looking at many other aspects of this problem. All right, let's see. Let's talk to Rebecca from Waco, 35. Ooh. Wants to talk about a peaceful protest in Waco.
Oh.
Yeah? Did I get her?
Yeah, we did.
What's going on, Rebecca?
Hey guys, thanks for taking my call.
Hi gal.
How are y'all? I've been listening to the show and you got all sorts of opinions and facts and stories coming your way.
Well, we got a young Korean guy whose parents were killed at the liquor store he now works at or owns but was looted. We have an officer from Chicago and now Rebecca from Waco.
We have no facts, but show it if you're listening to it.
Right.
and that how it always is. Well, I just wanted to kind of just give out some good news. Waco, Texas, which I know a lot of the world doesn't look at us very fondly for our peaceful actions, but today was really something. It was actually oddly family-oriented. Mm. Kids were there, which I thought was really awesome because it allowed us to show our children what peaceful protests and discord can look like and also make progress. And so I just wanted to share that to anybody that is looking around thinking that it is just pure chaos.
Was there a police presence?
Pardon?
Was there a police presence?
There was.
And everyone was respectful and doing their own thing?
They were in the back. They were just there. More of a observe and report is how we all felt.
Cool.
Protected, not threatened.
Yeah.
And,
imagine that.
Protecting and serving?
Yeah.
Yes, yes. And we even had not the Cajun Navy, but for lack of a better word, we had our own little group of people who
Cajun
were going
Navy.
To protect us no matter what as well. And it was good. And in the end, there were a lot of people as they were all dispersing, wondering where they were going to go get dinner and where they were all going to go have a drink. And
they're allowed to get dinner and have
really,
a drink.
Really,
yeah.
All the cops.
So it was really, really encouraging that they were actually going to go spend money somewhere and not, you know, steal it. So I don't know. It's not fun for anybody's narrative in the mainstream media, but the world, America and the world needs to know that it's out there. And it was led by this great man named, last name of Wardlaw. I just highly encourage anybody looking into it to please give Waco some grace and look at us, because I think we did a good thing today.
Thanks, okay. Rebecca. Thanks for doing that. And thanks for sharing that with us.
Yeah. Thank y'all.
Thank y'all.
Oh,
one more Kevin, which is something that Mark Gergis, I think, was talking about. Kevin, 44 Maine, you want to know why no one talks about qualified immunity, and it'll help make the police officers liable and potential crimes they're committing for the potential injury. And I think Gergis said that in his dissertation with us.
Isn't that basically like they can't be sued?
Yeah, well, go ahead, Kevin.
Somewhat. Hi there.
Hi.
Yeah, it's somewhat that they can't be sued. It basically allows for a little bit of ignorance for the law. So anything that they do cannot be used against them, and they can't be held personally or legally responsible for their actions. You know, like illegally pulling people out of their cars, illegal searches of homes and cars, intimidation, slamming people up against vehicles. Whether this stuff's recorded or not, people don't have a lot of options when you know, they want to file a charge against an officer, because they kind of police themselves. Now, I'm an absolute supporter of law and order, of police, but there are many cases where they have done wrong, and legally they can't be held accountable for their actions because of this law or this. Actually, I'm not even sure if it's a law or not, but they can't be held accountable for their actions.
Yeah, they just refer to it as a legal doctrine.
That's even possible.
Well, I was talking to Mark Gergis earlier about this, who obviously has many of these cases that he's dealing with. And the notion, when you see some of these cases and how cut and dry they are, I mean, I would say worse than the Minneapolis case in many of these cases, because while that was bad, these were flat-out gun executions.
We'll never forget the Arizona one.
Oh, God. Everyone walked. Everyone got no convictions.
Oh, my God.
That's
one in Arizona happened to be a white kid in a hallway who was in, like, a pair of swim trunks or shorts or something, and they shot him with an AR-15. And they got off, and on top of that, he got rehired for 42 days. And he also got at least a partial pension of $2,500 a month, and they paid for his medical bills for PTSD. Meanwhile, that kid ended up dead, and his family had to live with that.
No, look, I completely agree. Something's got to change. That's what has to happen.
So why not diplomatic immunity?
Real lethal weapon too.
Got to be changed.
I listen. You've come to the right place, my friend Kevin. I spoke to our friend Mark about it an hour and a half ago on this very program, and I agree. Then that's the kind of stuff where you go, okay, like you tell me it's open season on black people. I go, that doesn't mean anything, and you're scaring the shit out of everybody, and it's not open season on black people. We live in a much better society than that. You tell me you want to work on qualified immunity, I go, okay, now that's something to set our sights on. That's a direction to go to. The big, broad, sweeping proclamations of, you know, we live in a racist culture, systemic racism, there's no direction to go with that. Go a direction of qualified immunity, and then you got my attention, and that's something to focus on. All right, let's take a last break here, and we'll come back, and Gina will do the news right after this.
Give me the news with Grad. News with Gina Grad. Breaking viral all over.
those crazy Trump tweets. Give me news with Gina Grad. Trouble in the Middle East. Celebrity drunk meltdowns. Need news with Gina Grad.
The news with Gina Grad.
So just to give a little bit of an overview, even though we've pretty much, you know, exhausted the subject, in case you're wondering about some of the numbers, as of Sunday, around 1,500 people were arrested over the weekend, about 100 protests all over the country. And anything that could have happened did happen. 5,000 of the National Guard troops have been activated nationwide in at least 15 states. Another 2,000 standing by. Curfews enacted were one of them. Curfews, I think, are in 12 cities so far. And, like, literally, whatever you can imagine has happened over the past 4 days. Cops being sent to the hospital, cop cars being torched, cops turning their body cameras off and using excessive force on rioters, looting, rioters coming in from other neighborhoods to incite violence, cops walking with and kneeling with protesters, freeways being blocked, press being arrested. It's just, it's the entire gamut of, I hope, of what we can experience. I hope we're not in for any more surprises. I played the Atlanta mayor for you. I just thought she was really interesting. Another couple things that I don't think have gotten the media attention and I think are worth just, it's never going to balance everything we're seeing, but just worth throwing in there. Someone sent this to me from Portland, of course, Portland. So yes, sometimes you need to get out your non-lethal rifle and start beanbagging people, or there are times where you line up as police officers and do this, and we'll show you. This was, I believe, yesterday.
I can talk if you want to find that.
I'll vamp it for you. Basically, it's a line of police officers. There's a big demonstration in the, go ahead, in the middle of a giant intersection. Everyone's coming over to look what's going on.
Took a knee.
All the cops take a knee. You can turn up the sound. All the protesters are cheering. They're coming up. They're taking a knee. There's a immediate mutual respect, immediately disarming the rioters. And it was just this really wonderful moment that maybe couldn't be pulled off in other places, but it was really heartening to see.
Very Portland-esque.
Yeah.
Keep Portland weird, yeah. Cops. And
just showing, like, we are on your side. Now. We are not trying to instigate anything. There were other cities that were obviously the exact polar opposite.
All right, you can pot it down, please.
Yeah, this was heartening.
I did not see that, so good.
And on that same sort of tip, I was looking for the, there was like two of them. I couldn't find them anymore. They were on Twitter. This is a different one, not great audio. But as we talked about before, a lot of, no pun intended, but a lot of Black Lives Matter people, or just, you know, good-natured, I guess, protesters left sort of holding the bag as all these looters come in and just start smashing and grabbing, not really part of the protest. So there's a lot of, like, Instagram Live and Facebook Live of them being like, look at these motherfuckers. They're not here with us. They're not part of the protest. They just bashed in a Target. We're not part of their group. We don't know who they are. So here's the one I could find. And there are many Targets because Minneapolis is sort of the hub of Target. This was a CVS, I believe. You can go ahead and play it. As people are running over to loot it. Keep turning down just a little bit. People are running over to loot it. Another group gets in the way, is like, no, that's not what we're doing. That's not why we're here. They form a line of people trying to protect the building just to be like, the fuck out of here. You're not here for the same reason we are.
Savvy.
And there are lots of these videos.
I know. They looted it 2 hours later, the same people. More flat screens for us. But I get it initially.
I didn't do my due diligence.
It was very positive. It's just later on, surveillance cameras showed the exact same
I don't want to say Target brought it on themselves, but their name is Target.
Yeah. What they think was going to happen.
Yeah.
So a couple of, you know, a couple of moments that remind you, you know, we're not completely going up in a ball of flames all the time.
Oh, yeah. There's, you know, 10 good people or maybe 100, maybe 1,000 good people for every bad person out there. But the, you know, it's like a school shooting. Like, it doesn't take much. It just takes one fucked up 15-year-old to fuck up a lot of lives.
Yep. Yeah. And by the way, did you see, because I brought it in case you hadn't seen it, the CNN reporter that got arrested?
I'd heard about that story.
You know, the press kind of have carte blanche. You flash your press credentials and you're basically a ghost. They don't bother you. You don't bother them. They're just reporting your story. In this case, it was a guy named, I believe, Oscar Jimenez reporting for CNN. It was him, the cameraman, and a producer. There might have been four people.
Wait a minute. Yeah. Oscar Jimenez, I think, was in the PSA about renting. Oh. Apartments. Hi, I'm Graham. Oh,
no. I'm in a wheelchair.
No.
I think that
my name is Juan Hernandez.
Oh, damn it.
Hernandez. Come on.
Hello, I'm Graham Wellington.
By the way, like Thurston Howell III is going to rent an apartment off of Western
rent
in
control.
Normandy, right?
Yes, like I'm looking to have an affair, a clandestine affair at that.
Do you have yacht parking? Is it covered yacht parking? Is there a place to store my monocles and spats? It's a shitty apartment. It doesn't make sense.
Oh,
okay,
Graham.
Sorry.
Yes, hello. My name is Graham Wellington.
That's right. All right.
Where do I put my Duffy boat?
I heard that he was
They basically, the story that they did, and I shortened it quite a lot because it's like 6 minutes long. So this is just like a minute. So basically he said, we're standing where they told us to stand. We're trying to stay out of their way. We're reporting live. We're out of the way. They arrest this girl that breaks the skirmish line. And I think that kind of draws all the cops' attention now to Oscar and his group. He's live on CNN. And here's what happens. A guy's holding his arm right now, a police officer.
The advanced police presence that we saw come over the course of really minutes when the local police showed up at the fire department, or with the fire department, I should say, on that building we showed you that was
cops
burning.
Being cool.
Yeah. This is among the state patrol advancing up the street.
So here's when it...
And scattering the protesters at that point for people to clear
is this
the area.
L.A.?
No, so Minnesota.
Oh, Minnesota.
Minneapolis.
Sorry.
I'm sorry?
You're under arrest.
Okay. Do you mind telling me why I'm under arrest?
He's letting him sign off.
Why am I under arrest, sir?
He's still holding the microphone.
Oh, he does a mic drop.
Okay.
And he has a mask on, so you can't.
We're arresting him live on CNN. We told you before that we are with CNN.
All right.
So he gets hauled away. Then the producer, then finally, of course, the cameraman is like, well, what do I do with this? Puts it down. You see him all hauled away. They never got an answer as to why they were being arrested. And the governor, I believe, mayor or governor, was appalled, was apologetic. But I think at that point, the nerves were fried. They were just looking for people to do something with.
The fog of war kind of thing.
Fog of war.
Yeah, exactly.
Yeah. I had on a happy note, I don't know if you guys have been seeing people around, if you've crossed paths with people that are wearing masks and then you're shamed. I'm shamed in like pulling my shirt up
sure.
because I'm not wearing a fucking mask when I walk my dog.
You make the who farted mask?
Yeah, I did. I did the Shields mask, because they're passing me on the horse trail. I'm not a fucking idiot, so I'm not wearing a fucking mask when I walk my dog alone when it's 90 degrees outside. But all right, if you slaves would like to do that, then have fun with your shitty lives. I'll see you in hell. But fine, you fucking idiots, do what everyone tells you to do all the time and just obey, or do whatever you want. Burn a cop car and don't wear a mask. You figure it out. That's my whole thing. Yeah. My thing is I'll be in charge of me wearing masks when I take a walk with my dog alone, and I'll be in charge of whether or not I burn a cop car.
Yeah, that'll be up to you.
I'm crazy that way. But the first instance of mask shaming the other direction happened last weekend at mm-hmm. the Houston Improv. Now, we all have been shamed into putting the mask or pulling the shirt up or passing the person and getting the mask out and throwing the mask on. First example of a shaming where the mask had to come off.
What?
Someone was browbeaten to take off their mask?
No, but it was a shaming. I realized it. You know what I'm talking happened? About, Max Spana?
Let me guess. I'm going to guess. This is a totally wild guess. Pulling out an ID and you can't see their whole face?
No. Okay. Shaming.
No.
Shaming to take the mask off.
Do tell.
So we're at the Houston Improv last weekend. We're going to do a Saturday matinee show, give the money to the Houston Food Bank. And I'm told repeatedly that the fella that's running the Houston Food Bank shall be wearing a mask.
Okay.
He will be wearing a mask. Now, Dan Crenshaw.
He has a mask of sorts.
He has one over his eye, but he doesn't have it over his mouth. I'm doing a show. I'm not wearing a mask, and the entire audience has chosen not to wear a mask. That's fine. So we're up on stage. So I'm told, I mean, you guys can tell me what your interpretation of this is, but
okay.
I am told the guy who runs the food bank shall be wearing a mask. And I said, okay, it's his prerogative, it's fine. And, but it was told to me a couple of times. So we're backstage, we're in the green room. It's me and Dan Crenshaw and like one of his aid guys back there and like Mike August and Chris. And no one's wearing a mask, but the guy from the food bank is. So then Dan Crenshaw and I go up on stage and we're doing our thing for a couple of minutes. Then the owner of the Houston Improv comes out on stage. And now all three of us are maskless. Mm-hmm. The entire audience has no mask. And we're going to bring up the guy who's running the food bank. And lo and behold, the mask is gone as he comes up on stage. So I think he got peer pressured into taking the mask off, just like everyone else is getting peer pressured to put the mask on, because he was wearing it in the green room. He's holding it in his hand. He didn't say much other than thank you and this money will go to, and he spoke. That is true, but
he's holding the mask.
I think we pressured him into taking, like when everyone gets nude in the hot tub and the one chick shows up in a bra and panties, like, come on, Tammy, why show up tight?
Did you bust his balls or he was just observing the room when you guys were backstage?
We weren't doing anything. It was like he works at the Houston Food Bank and he chooses to wear a mask and everyone completely got that and fine. I had no problem. But I think he may have got peer pressured into taking the mask off.
Wow.
I can see that.
All right.
Okay.
The first reverse pressure. But let it be known that it works both ways. Yeah. When I'm pulling my shirt up, passing the chick on the trail, I'm being pressured to do it that way. He was pressured to do it the other way. All right. Sorry, Gina.
So a little bit of exciting news if you're remotely into space, especially since they had to scrap it the other day. The SpaceX capsule carrying two astronauts docked at the International Space Station on Sunday following this historic liftoff.
What a great, you know, you have to think of good days to leave the Earth, right?
That's the joke going around online.
Well, yeah, but I mean, they're going, hey, when's the rocket taking off? Right around kickoff of the Super Bowl. Like, you'd be like, what? No.
Oh, darn.
Yeah, why would we do it on Monday? Right? So literally as they're getting ready to take off, there are a bunch of guys rolling dumpsters as fast as they can to ram the rocket ship, and they just blast off in outer
get
space.
Get me off this rock. In fact, my fiance had kind of an interesting, kind of a joke, but kind of an observation. He goes, how disappointed would you be if you were a time traveler from 1969 coming to the future and saying, wait, the headline's still race riots and a guy going to outer space?
Right.
That's it? That's
perfect.
All we've...
That's all we got.
With the test pilots, Doug Hurley and Bob Behnken, they were actually poised to take over the manual control if necessary. They did not have to. The SpaceX Dragon capsule pulled up to the station, docked automatically, no assistance needed, really did seem to go off without a hitch. The docking occurred 19 hours after they blasted off Saturday from Kennedy Space Center, the nation's first astronaut launch to orbit from the United States in nearly a decade. And just because it's so exciting to watch, here's just like 30 seconds of the blast off.
3, 2, 1, 0. Ignition. Liftoff of the Falcon 9 and Crew Dragon. Go NASA. Go SpaceX. Godspeed, Bob and Doug.
Oh, Bob and Doug. Yeah, I saw that meme.
Very cool. And then, and it just keeps going. And another exciting thing, I couldn't find the clip of it landing. It was already landed. But unless my eyes deceive me and I was looking at something wrong, you know how the space debris sort of just plops into the ocean?
Mm-hmm.
Not with Elon Musk. That shit landed on the I Still Love You, I think that's the name of the carrier, on the exact bullseye X that it was supposed to. It was crazy.
I want to see
what's
that.
Funny is actually a good friend of mine was like employee number, I'm going to get it wrong, but it's something like employee number 12 at SpaceX. Like, he was one of the first people hired out of college, and his job initially was the reentry rockets, like the retro rockets that Gene is basically talking about. Mm-hmm. He's moved on to be more of an administrator, but very cool day for him.
Yeah, because we're used to just seeing the stuff just disappear into the ocean. Not anymore. And Chris, sorry to make you do the work, but it is really cool to see.
Well, that was part of the original pitch was the reusable stuff.
Yeah.
And I told you guys when I was down at Dan Gurney, legendary racer Dan Gurney, featured in Uppity. No, featured in the 24-Hour War, whose son played him in Ford v. Ferrari. His guys were doing some of those reusable, I don't know what to call them, but some of the biggest carbon fiber things you've ever seen in your life, like 60 feet long of just pure carbon. But again, it's a guy like, you know, the government does it, it goes in the ocean. Elon does it, we want to reuse it again.
X marks the spot.
Yeah, he eats all the buffalo.
And you know, this capsule is so sort of futuristic shaped, and it was really cool looking. They want to use it for, you know, more moon stuff, possibly Mars stuff, of course, space tourism. And I think Chris found it dropping back to Earth.
That's spectacular.
Let's see if we can see it go all the way back down.
Look at that.
Right on.
Bullseye.
Let me see what the whole thing kind of looks like. But yeah, it's great. I start thinking about there's going to be space tourism, and then there's going to be space racism. Because I think that's, if I know us as a species, that's where we're heading, right?
Hashtag
space. We're not
space
there
race.
Yet. Yeah. But one day, God willing, we'll have space racism.
God willing.
Well, there it is. God bless Elon.
Yeah.
All right. Let me hit LifeLock over here. Coronavirus has sparked an increase in cybercrime complaints to the FBI, like domain names, spoofing PPE vendors, and scams promising government checks and fake COVID charities. I'm telling you, people, they want to rip you off. They don't want to be like the looters and get cut by glass or hit by a rubber bullet. They'll do it from home. It's important to understand how cybercrime and identity theft are affecting our lives every day. We put our info at risk on the internet. Cyber criminals keep finding new ways to steal our identities, and it's stuff you could miss. Threats you could miss if you're just monitoring your credit. It's time to get LifeLock, right, Dawson?
LifeLock detects a wide range of identity threats, like your social security number for sale on the dark web. If they detect your info has potentially been compromised, they'll send you an alert and have a dedicated restoration specialist for your case. No one can prevent all identity theft or monitor all transactions at all businesses. LifeLock can see threats you might miss on your own. Join now and save up to 25% off your first year by using promo code Adam. Call 1-800-LifeLock or head to LifeLock.com. Use promo code Adam for 25% off.
What else, Gina?
Well, yes, cyber theft is one way to get screwed out of holding on to your money. But there's another way that could be a potential problem with the IRS. They're in the process of sending out about 4 million of these economic impact payments. They're these loaded up prepaid credit cards.
Right.
But the problem is a lot of people think they're junk mail and they're tossing them. So they're arriving in these plain envelopes and it says from Network Cardholder Services. Who wouldn't toss something that said that?
Right.
And the problem is that these unsuspecting people it looks like junk mail. So these 4 million individuals who did not have direct deposit information on file with the tax agency, that's who's going to get these in the mail. The Visa name also appears on the front and Metro Bank appears. That's the Treasury Department's financial agent. So if you don't bank with Visa and you get something that says Money Network Cardholder Services, what are the odds that you're even going to open it? So just or MetaBank. So please just know that when the mail comes.
Question, much like your very prescient insight that the pill manufacturers, the opioid manufacturers really do benefit in a way from opioid abusers. Is this not like kind of a good thing for the government, whoever's cutting these checks? Like, I kind of hope 500,000 people throw these out.
Or is it like a gift card? You paid for it already anyway, so who cares if they use it or not?
It's interesting because you have to think, like, if you'd really want to prevent this from happening, what would you do? You know, if you wanted them to throw them all out and save a ton of money, you just print, you may already be a winner with a picture of Ed McMahon on every envelope.
Right.
But that's interesting. Yeah, because you could save a lot of dough, and it's a percentage thing. X amount are going to re-up or reboot or whatever, but there's a certain amount that just aren't.
Well, and that led me to think about we talked about this. Conway brought it up, so I didn't hear Mark Cuban say this firsthand. But did you hear this thing, this theory that Mark Cuban had, this idea he had about stimulus payments,
Mm-mm.
which I thought was fascinating. Basically, and I'm going to throw out a number. Say every American gets a check for $2,000 a month for 6 months, let's say. Mm-hmm. There, and you get it, and no questions asked, and everybody gets one. But there's one catch. You have to spend it. And if you don't spend it, like very Brewster's Millions, if you mm-hmm. don't spend it by the end of the month, it's just automatically taken out of your account. So mm-hmm. it's to get...
Like put it back in the economy.
Exactly. You're not to hoard it. You're not to save it. It's supposed to... You're purchase.
That makes sense. I mean, Mark Cuban, you know, guy knows what he's talking
about. I don't know a single person. I mean, of course, we all kind of want to save our pennies when we can, but I don't know a single person be like, I don't know, how the hell would I ever spend $2,000? I could think of 10 ways off the top of my head. And if someone's telling you, you must go have fun. You must, you know, go get it.
Hey, everybody. I own the Dallas Mavericks. Hold on. Let me take a swig of Just for Men. I can go to the Shark Tank, or I can make a deposit in the Spank Bank. Woo! Dirk Nowitzki, stage five. Dirk, stage five. All right, thanks.
Yeah, money's yours to do with whatever you want.
As much Mark Cuban as I could get out.
That was really good.
All right, let's do one more.
All right. So, as we talked about before, a lot of theme parks are trying to figure out how and when to open back up. Disney World, not Disneyland, Disney World's taking steps. Magic Mountain's taking steps. We talk about how basically it's going to be a theme park utopia where you're only allowed to be at what, like 30% capacity. You take a, you have to have an app and you get right on your ride at your appointed time. It's sounds fantastic. But Japan is taking it a step further. There's an amusement park there that is going to, of course, require all the stuff that everyone's going to require: social distancing, hand sanitizers, masks. They're also requesting that there is no screaming on roller coasters because there's going to be droplets, there's going to be aerosolized germs, and you need to keep your mouth zipped on Space Mountain. So many of the other items, of course, they're all going to look familiar, but they're really going to try this out. Also, they want to encourage riders to, I'm sorry, the customer service people to make conversations short. Of course, they're going to have masks on, and they're encouraging their hosts to communicate with people, including hand gestures and smiley eyes.
Ryan.
If everyone's wearing a mask, isn't the point very moot then if you're screaming on a roller coaster?
Well, Brian, don't go against the Japanese government.
They're not a real expressive culture anyway. Like if you saw one of the things that was crazy about the Mike Tyson Buster Douglas fight is that it took place in Japan, and Mike Tyson was a 50-1 favorite 50-1 favorite, and Douglas knocked him out, and it was kind of quiet in the arena. Now, obviously, if that had been Atlantic City or Las Vegas, people would be going insane.
Right.
It was fairly quiet because their culture is much more quiet than ours is, so they probably got that. But I was also thinking, like, before the whole pandemic, the only people I ever saw wearing a mask at the airport were Asians.
Mm-hmm. Yep.
So are these people ever going to be able to take their masks off now? Because they were doubling down before the shit went down.
Yeah.
It's the only people I ever saw at LAX with a mask on.
Well, they have carte blanche for I told you so.
No kidding. Yeah. And I immediately, it's so funny, the second I went from, oh, Jesus Christ, don't be a hypochondriac, and then someone went, no, they wear them for other people. Yeah. And I went, I now love you.
It's a courtesy.
I apologize, and I love your culture.
That's right.
All right, let's bring it home, baby girl.
You got it. I'm Gina Grad, and that's the news.
Gina Grad. That was the news with Gina Grad.
All right. Nashville, Zanies. I'm doing stand-up, and we're doing live pods there as well, June 12th and 13th, so you can go out and see us in the flesh. You can go to Adam Carolla's Unprepared from Quarantine. Yeah, we'll do that tonight as you hear the 7 o'clock, 7 p.m. Pacific, and you can register now at SiriusXM.com/Adam Carolla and check out the YouTube channel and get I'm Your Emotional Support Animal, which is ready for pre-order right now. It's coming out in a couple of weeks. Audiobook as well. That's June 16th. I want to thank Mark Garagos for coming in here or zooming in here and being so timely. And thank you guys for calling in as well. Until next time, it's Adam for Mark and Gene and Bald. Say it. Mahalo.
Follow the Adam Carolla Show on Twitter at Adam Carolla Show. Follow us on Twitter at Adam Carolla. You can leave us a voicemail at 888-634-1744. And pre-order Adam's book on your emotional support animal. Get the links at adamcarolla.com.